Okay, we're going to start by reading a passage from Isaiah. What this is all about is finding out what the heart of the Father is. So I've had this vision, this sense of where, well, it very much ties in with the call that I feel, because I answered in obedience and then I felt the vision come in. And so I wanted to obviously present the vision that I have today. But I was looking for some scripture that would share the heart of the Father, which is the starting place for it. And I met with a friend the other day and he suggested Isaiah 58. So we go to Isaiah 58. And I'm going to read from 6 to 12. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and tie the cords of the yoke? To set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and the malicious talk, and if you spend yourself on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land, and he will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. So that final expression really took hold of me. Repairer of broken walls and restorer of streets. So we get over the first slide, mate. The one before that? Is there one before that? Thank you. That's just the title I've given this. Because this vision is basically about how do we, as a fellowship, being blessed by God, affect those around us? And there was just something in that of being called to repair broken walls. Something in if you imagine a people in a city being given that, it would speak about the city had been broken into and the walls were down and there was chaos. The enemy could come in whenever. And God was saying, repair it, protect this place, be guards for them. You know, and then restore the streets. And actually in the Amplified, it's restorer of streets of dwellings. So it just seemed to really speak to me about being in a physical place as this church has been planted in Cortes and in Cardiff. So it's quite a bit in the vision in terms of details and stuff like that. But overall, this is what it is. Tidy up, focus, and step out. Tidy up, almost like look to ourselves as a house and get ourselves in order. Hear my heart, guys. This is an amazing fellowship. I've been here about 25 years, done most of the jobs and stuff involved in this. I've got a heart for this place. I didn't want to come here. I had to, one of the most powerful words, in fact, the most powerful word in my life was to come to Woody, and the second most powerful was this call. And, you know, I didn't want to come, and a few times I've prayed to leave, but God has never said go, so I'm still here. Sorry, talk to him. But, now this is going to sound corny, but I love you guys, I love this place. And nothing in what I'm going to share is from a heart of criticism. But there's more. There's more, guys. There is so much more in the heart of the Father. And if anything, I'll share this with the Deacs, the leadership. If there's anything in a vision, what we need to beware of is when you go to the mighty King of Kings and God of Gods and Lord of Lords, that your vision is too small. And when you go away, he said, you could have asked more. We need vision, guys. And I would say we need big vision. Okay, let's have a go at this. Here we go. Father, over to you now. All right, let's take next slide. Cheers, mate. Start in place again. Father, heart of God, who do we serve? We serve Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And one of the reasons God was getting fed up with his people very often was that he would bless them and they wouldn't pass the blessing on. They were always supposed to be a blessing to the nations around them. They were always supposed to be God's heart and then moving out of that. And that's why that passage is amazing. The bit before is where they're doing all their rituals. And he's saying, that means nothing to me if you're not blessing those that you are in contact with. It means nothing. Is this not the fast that I choose? So we start with this place of what did the Father do about it? The Father said to Jesus, who was sitting in glory, surrounded by angels with endless worship, there's a people, and the only way to save them is to go and be one of them and live a life that shows them how to live a life and then die and be a sacrifice. And that is Jesus we serve. And we are called, that is the incarnation, that's God among us. And we are also called to be God's people among people, to be a blessing. Okay? He's a God of love who wants to impact people and bring them to himself. He has the heart of a father that desires more and more children would know his love. His primary model for this, to do this, is the church. He speaks through visions and dreams and stuff, and he's doing all sorts of crazy stuff, particularly, you know, in the Islamic world and in other parts where there can be no physical evangelism. He's doing amazing stuff. But his primary model is the church. It's the church that he wants to use. And there's various pictures of the body, the army, the family. He is a creative, vibrant, community-centered God who wants his church to replicate those values in the community. That just sort of struck me as I was thinking about this, you know, that we reflect this wonderful God, that we don't reflect a boring, judgmental, narrow-minded, tight-fisted God, but we represent an amazing Father God whose hands are open to his children. And it's our call to represent that in the community. Jesus said, you know, you look at me, you've seen the Father. And we're full of the Holy Spirit. When people look at us, they should see Jesus. There's the connection. It's not complicated. Let's have a look at the vision. Speaking of not complicated, that's it, really. This is the simple church model. I really like this. Basically, these are three umbrellas. Like, our calling for this purpose is to love God, to love each other, and love the community. I say community rather than world, because I think we just have to start from where we are. It's good to pray for revival in the whole of Wales or whatever, but I got to say my faith struggles with that. Maybe to start with where we are and pray for God to meet people and bless people just around us, just around here or whatever. That's why I've said that. So we're to love the world, but if you want to make it in a sort of bite-sized portion, it's love the community. So we're to show the love of God out there. Okay, let's have a look through this just quickly. Love God. How do we love God? Next slide, please, mate. Cheers. By worshiping him. Love the Lord your God, you know, worship with all your strength. We are called to worship him, and I believe to seek his presence in worship. There is a powerful thing about the people of God coming together corporately and worshiping. God loves to be there among his people. The Lord is enthroned upon the praises of his people, which is why it is so important. You know, like Stu did this morning, that moment to just take a moment and say, yeah, what are we doing here? Are we just coming here because we do Sunday, blah, blah, blah? We need to get into that place of just worshiping God. Listen, never underestimate the power of the presence of God. When I used to do youth work in Robina, Jan and I, many years ago, before we came here, you know, we were doing youth work in Robina. We had an open home, so we'd have all these kids coming in. We did this coffee bar, which really took off. There were loads of kids there, and lots of bikers and punks and stuff. And there were these two guys in particular, these two punks. And one of them, obviously they were punks. They hated everything. And yet they were still so respectful in a weird way. They said, well, is it all if I sit here? Chris, like, you're a punk. You should just stand on my furniture. You know, spits. But they were very well-behaved punks. But they had the punk attitude of despising everything. And so you talked about one of them particularly was very, very bright. Mark is a very intelligent guy. And he was very quick, you know, and he used to annoy me. He was much quicker than me. I was thinking, you're only about flipping 15 or something. And all his arguments were really good. He's a very clever guy. Anyway, he came to church one day, and we were just beginning to move into renewal and that sort of thing, and discovering the power of worship. And I remember one day we were singing, you know, that old hymn of the faith, as they say, My Chains Fell Off, you know, it was the wonderful hymn of praise, and the whole bit, and you could sense the power of God. And at the end, Mark turned to me, and he was white, and he said, Chris, what was that? It was the presence of God. When the people of God put their hearts and passion into praising him, and the presence came down, and there was direct connectivity between all that. That blew his mind. He ended up going to Spring Harvest. That blew his mind in all sorts of different ways. Long story short, although he's a white guy, he ended up as a pastor in a black Pentecostal church. The only one I know of. But that was Mark for you. But his journey began with a revelation of the presence of God that bypassed all of his arguments and mine. So, guys, sorry, this is turning into there's 18 sermons here. That's the worship thing. All right, anyway, seek the word. But that's important because the presence of God in here in worship is the presence in this community. Do you see? The presence of God here in this place in worship will be affecting the atmosphere in this community. Do you believe that? Thank you. Rock on. All right, so loving God, seek his will for our lives, seek his will for Woody, serve him. This is just something that occurred to me, and I hope, you know, maybe this will take care because of certain aspects to do with the vision, because there are certain parts that are not in this vision. I'm only sharing what I've got. A vision, right? A vision is not a detailed strategy. It's not a plan. It's not a manual. A vision is someone just getting up into a bit of a high place and looking and saying, do you know what? We could be over there. You know, I can't see how many trees there are between us and there. But we could be over there. I see a land. Should we go over there? That's the vision, yeah? That's the vision. So there are things, as I will share, you'll say, well, where's that, Chris? It's not that it's not in there out of deliberate neglect. It's simply what has not sort of caught me this time. But one thing did, and that was the whole place of children. And I was thinking about this thing about how you love someone. And when you love someone, you treasure what they treasure. Yeah? You love what they love. You honor what they honor. So with God, we need, as part of our love for God, first commandment, that we need to treasure what he treasures. And I saw the children in that light. So I haven't got specifics. There's great things going on here. But to treasure the children, but also to value and treasure each other. Because every one of us is precious to God and has been bought with the blood of Jesus. So be very careful before you go messing with stuff that's precious to God. Another sermon. Right, okay. Right, love God. Cool. You got that? Excellent. Love each other. Primary way to love each other. You have to know each other. You have to spend time together. Clearly, you have to be together. It's part of the blessing and curse, isn't it? God, you're great, but your people are a pain. That's a general statement. That's not mine. I'm not saying that in this particular context. Unless it brings this thing to an end. Right, so people need to be established in these. You need to be in places where there's accountability. You're working stuff through. You're sharing. You know, there's mentoring going on. You've started a new situation. You're like, you know, there's guys going on, they're starting jobs, students starting jobs. They want to get alongside people who have been working for a while and saying, well, it's not actually all it's cracked up to be. But they want that support in there. You know, it's the whole family model of church. But it's so important, guys. people, or be strong about this. You need to be in some structures like that. You need to be home groups, triplets. You need to be some situation where people can say, how are you doing? What happened with that? Share, blah, 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 blah. The wholeness program, that's something we've been looking at for a while with the elders. The idea of this is basically, as people come to faith, are people going to come to faith in Woody?
Yes.
Are people going to come to faith at Woody?
Yes.
Thank you. When people come to faith, I don't know about you, I wasted an awful lot of my Christian life faffing about with stuff and struggling with the same rubbish day in and day out. Until I was getting sorted and healed on these things, and God was so gracious and patient. But there's got to be a better way. And growing churches are finding that if they take like a discipleship sort of program and they take people through it and they spend time with them and they pray into it, intentional, focused, that it can sort out a lot of that stuff. So Sunday services, we need to be welcoming. Now, Woody has got an amazing ethos of welcoming and stuff, but everything can do with improving. Everything. And I would really encourage you to take that welcoming thing quite seriously. Because if someone takes the massive step of coming in, people, not just the welcomers, need to be aware of them and that. It's just a culture thing. We need to care for each other, encourage, challenge, give practical help, submit to another. Obviously, there's lots of stuff I'd like to go into in that, but I want to crack on to the main bit. So, here we go. Right, love the community. This came to me as a vision. I'd like to say that, you know, I was on a mountain. I was at Faldebrennen, like doing fasting for 4 days, and suddenly I had this vision. But I was on the X30 bus to Newport. Heavy of heart, as most people are on that bus. And I had just, basically, the day before, said to Jan's utter amazement and disbelief, thinking that I'd gone back into my drug-taking practices of my late teens, that I had, in fact, decided to put my name in, you know, in the hat in the ring, whatever, for the pastorate at Woody, because I'd said I would never, ever do it. So the next day after making that, and this afternoon in the Q&A, I'd like to start by just going through a bit of the call and some of that. The next day I was on the bus, and I just had this sense of how Woody could be in this community. Okay? Now, hear my heart again, right? I know there's an awful lot going on in this church, and I know you're from all over the city and outside of the city. But here's the thing. It just occurs to me. If you're trying to break through a wall, and you've got a long brick wall, and you've got 40 people, and they're all bashing their own bit like that, you may never get through that wall. But if you get all 40 people in one place, and they give it a really good crack, you might get a breakthrough. I don't know. That just occurred to me earlier. Something about focus. First of all, okay, so the vision for Cates. Here we go. First of all, we've got to get to know it. You know, how much do we know about this area? Where the church is planted? And I know we're in different communities, okay, but bear with me. I'll come back to that. Let's just look at Cates, okay? Bear with me. We need to get to know it. We need to use the facilities here. And as we get to know it, we need to pray for it. And those two, they cannot, you know, you can pray first and get to know whatever. But you will pray more effectively if you know what's going on up there. And as you get to know it, you will bring that in prayer. And prayer can be used to shape and do all sorts of stuff. Okay, so get to know Cates, pray for Cates. Look for opportunities to serve in Cates. I know that Jan and Ruth recently, sort of independently, have gone into charity shops. And I'm just doing some sort of afternoon shifts there just to help out, get an idea of what's going on in the community. Bless businesses. How do you bless a business? It's dollar, isn't it? You've got to spend money. Oh, that's, I like a picture right there. Yeah. Okay, I'm done. Listen, guys, it says in Proverbs, your gift will make a way. Right? It says your gift will make a way. Now, people have interpreted that physical thing. I don't think it's almost like a bribe will make a way. It's basically money will make a way. If you want to be talking and getting to know people in shops and in cafes and in restaurants, you can try going in there and saying, no tea for thee, but I think I might have a word from God for you. But it might be better to go in and buy a cup of tea and just chill out there and to be part of it and get to know it. And I'm no great shakes on this. I'm not miles down the road, but I've just been trying to do stuff in Cattays and get to know guys in Cattays. And I've got to know a few of the shopkeepers and a few of the guys. And so we've been just chatting through. How many of you had a Catty Walks? Oh, okay, I'm getting there. The guy in Catty Walks, Naz, who's a really nice guy, and they are the best noodles in Cardiff, and they have won an award. He is aware of what's going on here, because he said, well, what are you doing for a job now, voluntary done? And I've been telling him about this. I've been just chatting to him. And then when I go in now, he goes, oh, how's it going, Chris? So we've moved from talking about the best way to eat noodles to what is going on in our lives. And that just comes through going and buying stuff and chatting and just being real and normal. When I talked to him yesterday, he said something really interesting. He said, so what are you going to say? What are you going to say tomorrow, mate? That's amazing. I said, my heart is really that the church should be doing, you know, just more out here and we should just be helping. There's lots of places. And he went, do you know, he's not got a faith in us. He said, do you know, I've always thought it weird that there's all these people meeting in all these buildings, you know, like the mosque or the church or whatever. And they go in there and they do their stuff and they pray or whatever you do. But we never heard of it out here. And he said, you go in there and you do it to each other, but then nothing comes out. He said, if there's someone up there, honestly, I'm not kidding, this is what he said. Can you speak into the mic, because I need to record. He said, if there's something up there, surely they'd want to tell people about it. Yeah. So I vote Naz for pastor. Anyway, listen, let's hear my heart. That all came out of Noodles to Go. Just see what I'm trying to say? Anyway, blah, 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 business. If you want to write, that's where you go. Other organizations, there's lots going on in Cattays. There's the youth center over there that really struggles in some places, doing a great work. It was fantastic. The Glory Week, we did the painting. Oh my gosh, the bonuses that came back from the painting that the kids did. You need to go around the back of Cattays Community Center and just see what the kids did, the YWAM team, yeah, where they painted the panels during Glory Week. You need to go and check that out. It's fantastic. But the way that the youth center, they appreciated that so much. There are openings there to work with others. We have got expertise in this church. We've got so much expertise. We've got people in this church with all sorts of gifting, you know, in accounting, in engineering, in strategy, in understanding stuff. And we could get to the point of saying, well, look, it's parts of maybe voluntary organizations in this community. They're trying to go forward. They don't know how to do it. They haven't got a plan. And we could say, look, we can help you with that. We could just give you a couple of sessions. We could be, it is all about where we're looking. Once we start looking and walking, this could all open up. Then there's a whole thing of praying with and for people. As you are blessed, as you move in your home groups, as you're praying for one another and your faith is growing, and you're able to give words to one another or scriptures. Look, I won't even say prophecy, right? It says all of you should prophesy. All it's saying, all the scriptures are saying, is that you have all got the Holy Spirit within you. And God can speak to you, and he can speak to you for others. And you need to look for opportunities to share that. And that can be the simplest thing ever. We need to take that right down from prophetic words. We need to take it right down just sharing a picture, sharing a sense. Even saying, can I pray for you? Do you know, people really respond to that. People really respond to that. They say, oh, you know, thanks for that. And if they don't, they say, no, thanks. But thanks for asking. Thanks for just bringing that into this situation. Anyway, working with other churches. Look, here's a test. How many churches are there in Cardiff? Let me give you a clue. The body of Christ. Thank you. Yeah? There's only one Church of Jesus Christ in Cardiff. Yeah? Okay. We are simply a section of that. There's only one church. There's only one body of Christ in Cardiff. It's in an incredibly diverse range of manifestations. But we do need to know what the other churches are doing in the area, to get what their vision is, to share resources. You know, if you've got two people working next to each other, one's making bricks and the other one comes along and starts making bricks, you say, well, we need lintels. What's the point? You need to talk and then make different stuff. Yeah? It's just, Church is all doing their own stuff with no sense, but that can only come through relationship. You have to build relationships. You have to understand what the people are saying, and then you can work. I'm not talking about events. Events are almost, I think they almost get in the way, you know, because people come together, do an event, and then there's no relationship. I haven't been involved in a few. So working with other churches, working with other organizations, bringing healing and God's word to the community. I mean, like I said at the beginning, some of this is already going on. Some of this we're seeing. You know, where Ruth and the guys went the other day, went to the cafe and were sharing some of those words. Oh, very calm and low-key stuff. And in HOTS, healing on the streets. I've been doing it for 4 years now. And we have days out that are really, really difficult. And then we have days that are an amazing blessing. And God moves and something happens. And you think, wow, that's absolutely incredible. But when you're talking about credibility and stuff and trying to get out to the church, you know, to be a blessing, you do need to be prepared to not be discouraged once you feel you've got hold of it. For the first year of HOTS, so every Saturday, 11 to 1, there's people there praying or waiting to pray, giving out leaflets, chairs. For the first year, every Saturday, just about, a guy, Les, we learned later, would go past in his mobility scooter. The most dangerous driver of a mobility scooter I have ever seen. He would sometimes weave through us. And you'd be, whoa, and he wouldn't speak to us. And after a year of doing that, he stopped and said, so what are you doing? And then we said, blah, blah, and we prayed for him. Get him and pray for him. Some people prayed for him. A few months maybe later, he started, how are you doing, Les? My wife's died. Can you pray for me? Once you start looking out, you will be challenged. There aren't people waiting out there for us to go out. There's no party going to happen. People aren't going to say, oh, thank goodness, we've waited 100 years for the church to come out of the building. Please pray for me. They're going to look at you and think, what are you doing? And they're going to test you. And they're going to wait and see if you've got stickability. And they're going to wait and see where your heart is. And then, my friends, you can begin to reap. You're still awake? Okay, one has definitely fallen asleep. But actually indicated it, so I'm a bit dubious. Okay. Okay, so this is what we can do now. Now, looking ahead, all right, now this is where it's going to get a bit scary, but this is a vision. If we get credibility, if we're seen of people of integrity, people you can rely on, people who bring the word of God, the wisdom of God into a situation, who knows? Isn't it an incredibly sad thing? Isn't it desperate at the moment? There's a generation of young people, and the number of unemployed is staggering. No, if you're in that age, if you're in that the sort of 16 to 20, and you haven't got a job and you haven't got something, what is that doing to you? What is that doing to your heart and your spirit? What is that doing to your esteem? So, if there was anything that we could be saying, I would like us to look at getting involved in training unemployed people, and maybe work other organizations. I don't know. I haven't got the details. I'm seeing the trees. I'm not seeing the branches. But I would think the heart of the Father would be in that. I know of a guy we prayed for the other day in HOTS. He said, what would you like prayer for me? He said, I've got no life. A 28-year-old man, prime of life. He said, I've got no reason to live. Could you pray for me that I would have something, a love of life, something? He spent all day in bed watching telly. There's nothing wrong with him. What a waste. I just said, Father, I just pray for a spark. I just pray for a spark in this boy. Now, we've been really blessed because in that sort of same situation, people have been coming along to Woody from that. Long story short, I've talked to his mother the other day, and she said she was so encouraged that 2 weeks ago he tidied up his room. To that mother, that boy tidying up his room was like him starting university. Guys, oh my gosh, that will, don't be overwhelmed by this. Don't be overwhelmed by all this need and all this pain, all this stuff, right? Because the Father's only saying, start where you are. But I think he's saying, start. Start in businesses. I know, crazy. I have no idea what that means. But we got people here who can do that. We got people out there who could work. Bring in community businesses. Bring in financial means to a community. Isn't that incredible? I should just say that there are churches doing this, just in case you think I've gone completely bonkers. There are churches doing this. Why not Woody? Why not Woody? Planting churches. As I said, I'm looking quite a bit ahead here. We've already got the deaf church. It's gone. It's found a group of people. And their need was to have a church together. And John, I bet you've pioneered that. And that is an incredible model happening very quietly among us. And I honor those guys for what they've done there because they're modeling that to us. Now, planting churches always scares people. But what about being together? We've got to be together. What if they don't want to be with us? Let me tell you a story that Julian from Cornerstone in Swansea says. He was in a situation in a youth center where there were a lot of single mums. And one of them said, oh, she got this, I don't know, she had some physical ailment. He said, shall I pray for that? She said, yeah, in the name of Jesus, be healed. She was healed. Oh my gosh, who did that? Jesus. Who's this Jesus? Don't you love that stuff? Oh my gosh. She got to know Jesus. Oh, come on, someone say hallelujah. Just because he said, we can pray for that. She got to know Jesus. Her friends said, what happened to you? Who's Jesus? Can we get to know Jesus? So about 5 or 6 of them came to know Jesus. You need a bigger hallelujah. Julian, being a church leader, thought the best thing to do now is to get these all into church. Didn't work. They never made the transition because they had their little group and the Spirit was working and people were getting to know Jesus. And what he says, what he should have done was just identified a leader and spent time with that leader, mentored them. And blessed what God was doing. Yeah? And then have a leadership meeting of all the planned church leaders. I don't know. Have a monthly congregation. But be open to the fact, as we heard very recently, that God wants to use new wineskins. And don't force it into the old if you see the Spirit moving. Right. Blah, blah, blah. Where are they looking ahead? Yeah, specialist areas in areas, I don't know, whatever. Relationships, so the faith groups in Cates, I know a scary one, but it's on my heart that if we got to know, you know, maybe some of the local Muslims, or we got to know an imam and got some trust there and say, well, we're Christians, right? We won't preach, but there's people that we need prayer for healing, you know, because there are parts of the world where that happens. This is what the Taliban are trying to destroy. There's places where there's relationship between Muslims and Christians, where Christians are seen as the people of the book and they will pray. Anyway, park it. Now then, vision, if you step into it, can grow. I believe if we could get credibility in this area, we could then maybe go to the people. We work with politicians and stuff in the area and say, well, how can we serve? How can we serve? Then we could go to the council and say, you'll have heard of us. We've been involved working in Cates now for 3 or 4 years. We've started businesses. We've bid da ba, bid da ba, bid da ba, bid da ba. How can we help the city? And now the faith is growing. The vision's growing. I know I'm as scared as you are. I'm probably more scared. Stupid bus. I'd love to see a healing cafe in the shop. I'd love to see a healing cafe in the shop. You've got to do all the other stuff first, though. You know that, don't you? Yeah. Amen. Amen. We've got to get credibility. Right, let's rock on quick because time has gone. All right, listen, some principles. This is just to calm you down because some of you, I know you're freaking now. Look at the second bit here. This is a vision for Cates. It's not a decree. I'm not saying forget what you're doing in your communities. I honor what you're doing in your communities. With your, you know, those relationships that you're working on. That's not as clear as I thought it would be. Those relationships that you're working on. You need to bless God wherever you are. Yeah? You know, you'll be in different groups. You'll be in all sorts of different groups. And I'm not saying abandon that. What I'm saying is, I think it's time for a focus into the place where we are planted, physically planted. And I would, this would be my vision, you know, if, you know, blah, blah, down the road, if I got the gig, etc. I would be encouraging people just to seek God on that and seek, okay, how could I be part of that? But this is still really important to me. We're already moving in some of this, like I say earlier, you know, with little acorns and stuff already it's moving. It's moving in the community. What I'm talking about really is getting quite intentional about this and deciding we want to move. Many parts of, this is what I said at the beginning, you know, it's tidy up basically. We just need some support and regular review to make sure that things are working well, you know, youth work and all that sort of stuff. You know, all of our, we should be just very, you know, just credible in everything. We don't, excellence can be a bit of a sort of an idol, but I do believe we should pursue excellence. Because if we're going to go to the community, we need to have credibility. And so when they come in to look at what we do, we should say, yeah, we do that to a very, very good degree, a very good, very, very good standard. Now, the other thing I know you're freaking out about, and I would be, in fact, if I was sitting with you, I probably would have left by now, is it's a long-term vision. I'm not trying to drop a whole lot more on you. Woody is one of the most serving churches I think I could find. I look around here, and there's just so many of you involved in various parts of leadership and parts of serving. And that's amazing. But what I'm saying is, if we believe this is right, and we go to the Father, we will be saying, Father, we need people. We need finance. We need stuff. Yeah, we're back to what vision do you take to the Father? So this is why it's rolling down the road. We start from wherever we are, but we're looking down the road. I'm not saying abandon all you're doing now and we'll all go and, you know, we'll just drink coffee all day. I'm just saying where we can start from and maybe an idea of where we get to move. Although, you know, once you start moving, God's got a habit of sort of, you get to move and then he changes the wind and you end up somewhere else. Do you know what would be great? We build a relationships, connections, credibility. We're known for our integrity, good practice, honoring people. We're out there seen working with the disadvantaged and vulnerable people. And then the Spirit really starts to move on the nation. As God is doing all parts of the world, all sorts of parts of the world now, where the Spirit is moving. And then there's a sort of, there's a web, a network. See, if the Holy Spirit fell here now, that'd be amazing. We'd all be blessed. We could tell our friends. How would the community know? I honestly think we need to build those channels. That's not, it's not, hear my heart. It's not, we're building them just so they can get blessed one day. We can bless people right now. And that's the heart of God. I'm just saying, wouldn't it be nice if? Okay, so there's some principles. The church invitation to be the head, not the tail. This is just an expression that stayed with me for a while. So often the church is following, it's catching up, it's doing it. But we serve God, the creator God. We serve a mighty God. In so many ways, I think the church should be leading and not following in the community. And I know we've got a massive public relations exercise to do there, but it starts one person at a time. I just feel that as we put ourselves in this place, God will give us stuff, particularly on the whole thing of businesses and blessing people and all that. God is not short of ideas. Right. Yeah, seek to bless people in the faith. Yeah, we said about that. Okay, last two slides. Right, sorting out the house, two parts. Continue to work together to establish a house of blessing with the presence of God. Come and expect in the presence and, you know, having testimony, teaching, hosting really well. I mean, this hosting business, right? How we welcome, how leaders welcome you and how you welcome others. I heard some teaching recently and I feel there's an awful lot in this. that as you host one another and as you host the community, you are hosting the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is looking for hearts that are open. And so often churches are closed. And some of that is really difficult. It's just being a physical building. Many people in Hot said, I'll be in church tomorrow. And very, very few numbers have actually made it. It's a big thing about coming to church. So we've got to bless people. We're blessed with very excellent, amazingly gifted welcomers. But that is the responsibility of everybody here. So we need to be thinking in these ways. We need to look at our present commitments. This is the sort of where, what would we go next, right? This would be the first year, if you like. Look at our present commitments, bit of an audit, you know. What are our giftings and strengths? Talk to local leaders, you know, gathering information, getting to know, yeah? Now, I have actually got, when I prayed about this, and I got like a five-year plan, but, it wouldn't be, you know, I don't want to go into that now. I've got it all written up. Basically, I've shared it with the leaders and that. You know, if the call goes ahead, that's fine. If I don't get the call, I'll sell it to the next person. I may just give it, actually. There's the five-year plan, you know, reviewed regularly. That's just sort of management stuff, isn't it? It's just knowing what you've got, knowing you're going to use it, keep looking at it, bringing that sort of thinking into kingdom, being real. Okay, and first step's two. Sorry, guys, I didn't actually share this with the trustees because this has come to me since. So, there's one, the audit of training needs. You see, we need to get into this thing of, again, being excellent. The leadership day that we had, one of the things came up, we need a lot of training. We need more training. And we're looking at Martin doing an audit of our training here and looking where our training needs are. That's fine. It just strikes me that we've got a very separated leadership structure, a very segregated. We've got elders, deacons, and home group leaders. And it's occurred to me really that the home group leaders are the frontline leaders of this church. The cell leaders and are the frontline leaders, the home group leaders and cells. They are on the front line because they are dealing with the people week in, week out. They're dealing with the pastoral stuff. And I would really want to bless that and strengthen it, bring training into it, and support, increase responsibilities and stuff. Because I think that is such a powerful thing. But also to involve those leaders in the wider leadership stuff about, you know, praying. And I would just like to bring the leadership, less meetings. I'm not saying more meetings. I think we can cut some of the meetings. But just a bit smarter, I think, just to get leaders sort of, you know, working together, because it's going to be very important for relationships and for vision. So that is that. And then the next slide, please. Folding money would be best. Coins, no. That's my heart, Woody. That's my heart. That's what I got. Okay? In the question and answer, obviously, I can go into some detail in that. When we were praying as an eldership a while ago, or a leadership, or some situation, Ruth felt the Lord was saying, you've been on this mountain long enough. Break camp. Start to move. That's not dismantling all that's going on. Bless what remains. Strengthen the things that are going on. You have so much good stuff. But let's move. Let's move. There's people waiting. And when I was preparing yesterday, on the computer, I had iTunes and I had Bethel going on, and the Bethel tunes went through. You know, the worship band went through, and then after Bethel. On my computer, alphabetical, Beverly Knight. I know, amazingly hip for an old person like me, but what are you going to do? Bob Dylan was a bit further down. Beverly Knight, and it was just background music. I work with music, remember? And then I heard her say a lyric, and I didn't hear that. And I went back and listened to it three times, and I can't remember the song. It's off the album Affirmation. And it said, the more we go, it was talking about the daily life and how it gets difficult, the drudge of it and stuff. And she said, the more we go round and round and round, the less our sense of adoration. The more we go round and round and round, the less our sense of adoration. And it really spoke to me. And it was almost like, yeah, we worship God of who he is and what he's done in Jesus. But wouldn't it be good to get to a place of praising him because people are being saved, being filled with the Spirit. You know, the community is being changed. And that adoration is coming in because we're moving out and God, we're seeing God move.